Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast, episode number 21. My guest today is Karen Carter, who wrote Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life. She is a landscape architect turned feng shui expert. And not only is her book really funny, but it also helps you set up your home to support your life and create the life that you desire. So stay tuned to hear some funny stories from Karen and also some of her top tips to how to make your house support you the easiest and best way possible. Everything expressed in the Live Your Life podcast is either my opinion or the opinion of my guest, and this is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you find yourself in need of therapy or other healthcare services, please seek out resources for that. I'm Jasmine Savari, and welcome to the Live Your Life podcast. As a coach with a master's degree in psychology, I know that so many of us are missing the authentic experience of truly living our lives. I want to inspire you with conversations that expand your consciousness and empower you to create the best life possible. Let's start living now, because now is all we have. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Yes. Yay. So I found your book, I want to say probably 2 years ago, and I completely redid my living space after I heard you on a podcast. And so I know you have a couple books, but from my understanding, feng shui is kind of your expertise. And I'm sure a lot of people listening don't know a whole lot about feng shui. So maybe we can start off talking a little bit about that and then go into some of the other things that you do.
Sure. Feng shui is just a method of mindfully arranging your environment so that it supports you in what you're up to and where you're heading. And, you know, so you're not succumbing to the randomness or willy-nilliness or harm that could come from having a poorly designed or arranged environment. I tell people, it's like, you know, you don't lay the baby by the edge of the pool just because that's probably going to be a bad outcome, you know, more likely than not to have a bad outcome. Why would you lay your baby by the edge of the pool to take a nap? No, you'd put it in its bed, in its crib, where it's safe, right? So feng shui deals with the things that are, that's an obvious sort of thing, but where does obvious end and subtle begin? Feng shui deals with the obvious as well as the subtle things that maybe you don't even know is nipping away at your health or nipping away at your prosperity or other energies. And, you know, you just weren't aware that that's one of the things that drags you down. And that's what feng shui does. So consider it sort of like a nutrition guide for your living environment. If you're trying to make a flower grow or bloom, you don't swap the flower or the plant itself. You tend to the soil. You get the right amount of sunlight, water, more or less, whatever. So you actually deal with the environment to make that flower bloom. So if you think of it that way, we're trying to tend to our environment so that we thrive and bloom in life, as opposed to wilt or deplete or die.
Okay, I love this. So as you're explaining this, I think it makes perfect sense. But I think a lot of people get hooked by the term, the word feng shui. And I think I heard you in a podcast also say that you were a little bit skeptical when you first started learning a little bit about it. So what is, like, where did the term feng shui come from? And what can you say about kind of the almost like woo-woo nature where people feel resistant to even just the terminology of it?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that people get hung up on words. Words are just, you know, there's wars based, you know, on words alone. But almost every culture except us here in the West, and I'm not even going to throw the Native Americans or like Eskimos, you know, some people that would be native to here in the United States or whatever, because they did have their method of mindfully arranging their environment. Every culture, you know, it's just that we just plunk our little houses down and rearrange them in willy-nilly patterns and don't really pay that much attention to the natural forces going on in the, you know, in the neighborhood or the region or so forth. So feng shui is just one of the many ways that you can rearrange your environment for health and support. I chose this one just because this particular style of feng shui that I practice, think of feng shui as like cars. And underneath the term cars, there's VWs and Maseratis. And, you know, it's feng shui is an overarching term with underneath of it many different ways and styles, and some of them very contradictory, just like different cars are completely different, you know, whatever, electric versus whatever. And so, you know, feng shui is the style of feng shui that I practice was designed for us here in the West. And it makes, you know, more sense because you're tending to, quote, that local environment. And when you understand how to deal with the local environment, then you've got more, you know, power, or you are more empowered to bring about positive change. I would say this is a strange thing and people just go, huh. I would say the closest thing that the United States has to a guide, a feng shui guide, would be the Farmer's Almanac, which is, you know, they would say, do this then at this time, and you'll get the highest yield of your crops. It's very, you know, it's kind of an old fashioned way, or, you know, I would say maybe some people still say it's not old fashioned, but it was a way of connecting what they were doing to their local environment and the moon and the sun and the time of year, et cetera.
So as I'm thinking in my mind about when I read your book and the, was it Gua? Is that how you pronounce that? Mm-hmm. The different areas. Right. So where did that come from? Where the different Guas play into the different parts of your house? It's probably synonymous. And maybe we should start by explaining what that is, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know.
You know, I would say read the book and pick that up, because that's such a long conversation, but there is a map of feng shui, and it's kind of like, I will describe it like when light goes through a prism, the rainbow that comes out the other side is in a particular order, and it's light waves and photon energy, you know, blah, 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 but we don't care. We just want the rainbow in the right order, right? So the light waves come out in a particular order. So there is a particular order in three-dimensional space that we're going to say somebody figured out way back when, because it's just such a long conversation. That if you figure out where the energies are in your home, in each particular part of the home, then you'll be able to further sort of, quote, control, you know, the energy there. So each area of the bagua, which means like eight sides, and there's like an eight-sided octagonal map, and each one of those areas plus the center governs a particular sort of arena in your life, for like career or prosperity or family relationships and children and, you know, things like that. So every single thing that you can think of can fall into one of those areas of that map. And if you know what you want to bring about a change and upgrade in your life, you can go to that particular area in your home. And in the style of feng shui that I practice, the map is organized in such a way that it orients from the front door, just like the front door is the mouth of the house. All the energy that we bring into it, you know, we breathe the air, we drink water, we eat food, goes in the mouth. And so we want to acknowledge that mouth of our house and bring the energy in. So, like, for example, if you have a wall in front of your front door, or a pillar or something like that, a column or something, a tree, you might be blocked in some way from some area of life or the opportunities coming in to your house, which would therefore be weakening your opportunities in life. That makes sense.
Totally makes sense. I think so when I started doing feng shui in my living space and I would tell people about it, people kind of just blew over it. There's almost this resistance to the term feng shui. And how many people, when I started reading your book, which I will put the book in the show notes, everybody should read it. I think it's fantastic and we'll talk more about it. It was interesting when I would tell people about it, people kind of just poo-poo this idea. It's almost there's this like resistance to things that people don't understand or don't make sense. And I think you're talking a lot about just the difference in cultures in the West. Energy isn't something that we really the mainstream, we don't really talk about it a lot in your home. And so I think it's just so interesting. And I'm curious to hear. So when I was listening to an interview that you did, you talked about how you kind of fell into it and you were almost resistant to understanding how feng shui played a part. Can you tell us a little bit about that story? How did you come to be in that world?
Sure. I'm a landscape architect by trade, so to speak. And I had a project in Hawaii, in Honolulu. It was a hotel project, and China Airlines owned the property. And they said everybody on the team has to know feng shui. And so I basically got into feng shui to get a landscape architecture job. And so I scurried back to the mainland to try to find somebody to teach me feng shui or whatever, basically, so I could get that project. I had studied yoga, tai chi. I've done a lot of Eastern modality types of things before that, meditation, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, okay, it's just another language, you know, Eastern art, so to speak. And then, you find out that it's in Japan, it's in India, it's in, you know, like I said, every other culture has their style. Mm-hmm. But I just jumped into the feng shui one just because of my client. And so I started studying it. And then I thought, well, I got to experiment with this because, you know, it's hard for me to make suggestions when I don't even really know what they are. And then I started making changes to my home. And well, that's why there's a reason why my book is called Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life.
Wow.
Because I moved my stuff and it definitely changed my life. I didn't think I would ever, after working so hard in college and getting my licenses and all that stuff, I didn't think I would ever drop being a landscape architect. But my life just took I got in the flow, and instead of like swimming upstream, life just started getting easy and opportunities started showing up. Simon & Schuster calls me unsolicited to ask me to write a book, which, you know, how often does that happen? People would kill to get their book published by Simon & Schuster, you know, and they called me. So it's that kind of, life doesn't have to be so hardness that can convince one to become a feng shui, user, I guess, so to speak.
So, so I want to talk about all of this, but going back to the landscape of the hotel, how does feng shui play a role in landscape? Like, I'm imagining plants. Like, what would you do to feng shui a landscape?
Well, it's, you know, you can feng shui the top of your desk. You can feng shui the county that you live in. You know, there's no, it can be micro or macro. It's a universal cosmic, it goes from the teeniest speck atoms relationships to the cosmos. But when dealing with the landscape, well, it's kind of interesting because there are five elements in feng shui: water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. And it lays out so simply in the landscape because you've got the actual materials of water, wood, which are plants and things, and fire, which are lights, and, you know, you could make fireplaces or whatever. So it's kind of interesting how I would say it's easier to describe feng shui in the landscape more than it is inside the home, because people don't often know that the black curtains that are puddling on the floor could be a water element. You know, like, it's harder to describe a curtain as an element, but the landscape, it's pretty darn easy. You're like, well, that's pretty much water right there. But things that relate, you know, so once you study feng shui a little bit, you know that freeform shapes equal water. Like, let's say your mid-century boomerang table would be a water element shape, or your, like mirrors equal water. So, you know, hanging a mirror somewhere specifically to get that water element there, you know, it's everybody be like, what? But once you learn a little bit about feng shui, you understand that mirrors, the black and dark colors equal water. So you can start translating that quote element, which is really a way of describing a movement of energy. Everything in the universe is one thing, energy. So if you don't understand quantum physics, as a matter of fact, I had a couple quantum physicists listen to me speak, and they've said, you know, yeah, everything she says is pretty much true from a physics point of view. So it's for those who understand subatomic particles and physics, they're like, yep, that's pretty much it. But people that think you're over there and I'm over here and that thing is cotton and that thing is, you know, whatever, it's just literal little molecules of energy all arranged in a certain way. So if you can accept the laws of physics, then you know, feng shui kind of goes along easily. But yeah, the landscape, it's pretty darn easy because of the actual words that we use to describe the movements of energy are the five elements.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so kind of backing up to my very elementary perceptions or understanding of feng shui, I'm thinking of, you know, putting like the aluminum foil in the helpful people area of the house. But that makes sense with landscape that you can use all the elements. And then So the mirror piece. So I know the one thing that I do know is that you're not supposed to have a mirror in the, like, is it either your bedroom or the love and relationship area of the house? Can you say a little bit about that?
Well, I would say mirrors specifically in the bedroom can be a health energy nipper. If you can see yourself anywhere in the bedroom in a reflection, when you're lying in your bed and you see, oh, there's me over there at the foot of my bed because my closet doors are over there. And oh, there's me over there to my left because there's my dresser mirror over there. If you can see yourself while you're sleeping, you have the potential of lessening the opportunity for full health energy to be regained while you're resting and sleeping. I mean, we sleep to recharge and regain our health. And I'm just trying to give you a picture in your mind. Let's say the energy is trying to come back towards you as you're regenerating. And let's say, oh, well, it sees you over there. So it goes in that mirror and then it goes in that mirror and you're getting like one third of the opportunity of having full health because it's going one third in that mirror and one third in that mirror and one third of you, so to speak. So it would be like diluting your energy. That's how I would describe it in the bedroom. I'm trying to give people visuals, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it also makes the room bigger. We're trying to make the room cozy and cushy and small. And these giant bedrooms are really, I call it the McMansionization of bedrooms. Mm-hmm. I see these big houses with these ginormous bedrooms. And, you know, as a designer, I have a degree in design. So it's like understanding the psychology of space. When you're in an elevator and there's 20 people in the elevator, it's okay to touch shoulder to shoulder, but take those same 20 people and put them on a football field. It's very uncomfortable to be all stuck together in the middle of a football field because of the amount of space. So your sense of comfort, you're like, get away from me. You're too close, given the space. So a giant bedroom is not supportive for togetherness and relationship building and, you know, intimacy and things like that. So we're looking at how to create spaces that function from a basic functional point of view, and then bringing up, you know, what you're doing in there and how is this supporting you? Giant spaces are not comfortable to sleep in. Most people, you know, I go, where do you run off to take a nap in your house? I go, we go to the bedroom down at the end of the hall that nobody ever goes to. It's just a little bedroom down there. We call it our guest bedroom and it's a little nap room basically. And I go, well, that should be about the size of your bedroom. You know, that's a comfortable thing because you feel cozy in there. So a mirror in the bedroom actually doubles the size of the space, right? It creates this sense of space. That's why some people put mirrored walls to double the space. You don't really want to double your space inside the bedroom where you want it to be small, cozy, intimate, connecting with another, so to speak, that you would be, you know, gathering that energy for intimacy or health.
It's so the McMansion concept that you're talking about. I would imagine a lot of people have an idea of what they think their home is supposed to look like, and then they hear what's actually supportive, and there may be kind of a block there. Do you see that a lot where people, they really want the big bedroom, and so they're not willing to put that aside for the energy elements?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I work with that all the time. I work, you know, and some people, they get to the point where they're like, you know what, we're thinking about getting divorced. And if you can do anything, feng shui lady, knock yourself out.
Wow.
You know, and then I go see I've literally had that, literally multiple times had that discussion. And, wow. And I go, show me the bedroom. And, you know, you can you can go into somebody's house or office and pretty much read what's going on. I mean, it doesn't take much, you know, if you're taking your taxes to your tax person and you walk in the office and they've got stacks and stacks and stacks of tax people, you know, things to do all around. It's so cluttered. You'd be like, yeah, no, I'm going to go find somebody that I feel like is going to get the job done and not lose my taxes. You've made a quick judgment on what you think that opportunity or option is going to be for you just by quickly assessing the space. I've been doing this for many decades. Don't even want to say anymore. And so I can literally, you know, actually I'm to the point now where people tell me what's going on in their life and I can tell them what they've got in their house. You know, it's beyond me even seeing it at this point. It's the pattern, you know, just like a doctor looks at the rash on your arm and says, you know, oh, well, that's measles or whatever. And you're like, oh my God, of all the bazillions of diseases, how do you know it's measles? And they're like, I've seen it a million times, right? So I've been into a million homes and offices and they tell me what their challenges are in life. And I see the pattern and pretty much you know the pattern. So now people say, oh, it's like I'm facing shoulder surgery. I don't want to go through shoulder surgery. I go, you know what? Why don't you get that knife out of your nightstand drawer? And they're like, what? How did you know? Or whatever. And I go, well, I've seen it a million times.
It's so interesting to think about, like, if somebody could make these really simple shifts in their life, I would imagine there's people listening to this. And there's always so many things we can do to improve our life, right? But these are very simple things in our home that you're saying are, they're patterns, they're really obvious, simple things that people could change to change their lives. I think it's so simple. And I think it's really important. Like, I'm sitting here looking at my desk as I'm talking to you, and it is totally cluttered just because I have a lot of stuff. And this is such a perfect representation of my life. Just I have my fingers in so many different projects all the time. You can see it everywhere. You could see it all over my life. And I'm aware that it's something that I want to change so that I can change my life, right?
Right. And some people want more opportunity, but they don't have the space to hold it.
Yes.
Some people start a new business and they go, I want money. I go, have you opened up the checking account? And they're like, no, because I don't have any money yet. I go, well, get the checking account so you have a place to put the money. And, you know, and everyone's like, so creating the space, you know, if you have a tiny little desk that can't hold a new project, then it's hard for that project to come your way because psychologically and subconsciously, you're kind of feeling a little overwhelmed anyway. Like, oh my God, taking on another thing on top of this stuff on my desk. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no room. So, So these are, it's not like something that it's an obvious problem for me. So when people find you, what is usually happening? Why do they come to you?
I would, you know, listening to their complaints, I would say I'm stuck is a very common one. I'm stuck. I don't know where I'm going, or I just feel like I'm going nowhere. I literally listen to people's complaints. Like, for example, it's like I'm beating my head against the wall. I can't get anywhere. And I go, oh, is your desk facing a wall? You know,
yeah.
Like I'm beating my head against a wall. There's a wall within 2 feet of your face because you're beating your head against it. So listening to people's complaints, understanding how that translates in three-dimensional space, when you make those connections and cross those bridges, you just go fix the very problem. So there's a giveaway that I'm giving here. If you go to moveitwithkaren.com, it's that positioning yourself in space little webinar that you can watch that'll help you understand how, you know, people say, wouldn't it be nice for you to have respect from people without them even knowing you, but you're just constantly in a state of being respected. Like, wouldn't that be nice? You know?
Yeah.
Women are often, live in fear or, you know, there's always worrying about their safety, but they're consistently putting themselves in three-dimensional space in places that makes them feel uncomfortable. So get in those arrangements that are empowering. I tell people, think of the king, the pope, the priest, the judge, you know, not the president, because the president is in a very weak position with a window behind him. Mm-hmm. So I would love to feng shui the Oval Office because it's such a poor positioning.
What would you say about a window being behind you?
Well, if you need to put bulletproof glass in a window, My suggestion is you move to a different location.
Wow. Yeah.
You don't ever want to be worried about what's going on. And this is the complaints that go on when there's a window behind you. First of all, if it's a child, they have the head of their bed at a window, they're usually the kids getting bullied at school. They're in a vulnerable position.
Wow.
You don't know what's going on behind your back. So if you have complaints, like I got stabbed in the back by somebody, they're talking behind my back, nobody's got my back. When I hear my clients saying things like that, I 100% no, they are in vulnerable positions. Maybe they have to sit in a cubicle all day where the door is behind them and people can kind of come up and rah, you know, like scare them or whatever. Or their desk is facing a wall and the door is behind them in their office. So, in that arrangement. Or when you walk in their house, the couch has its back to the door. So you're walking right into the back of the couch and people are sitting on the couch and they go, whoa, who's back there, right? So if you have to look around to see who's coming in the door, you're not in that king position or that CEO type position where you go, come in, sit down, talk to me. Mm. You don't see that CEO with his back to the door looking at the wall. The guy sitting there or the girl is sitting there and the door is ahead and they're like, welcome, come in, sit down at the chair I've supplied for you. You are in the vulnerable position with the door at your back, not me. Let's negotiate. So that's, get it right, people, put yourself in that favorable position that you would have the upper hand.
That makes perfect sense. If you feel that you're in control and you're not vulnerable, that energy is going to play out all over your life. So mm-hmm. whether you want to call it feng shui or not, you're just saying this is energy. This is the way that you're showing up and living your life and flowing and what you're inviting into your life, which is so important.
Yeah. So it's simple little changes that can make a huge impact on your life in any area of your life. So Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, that book is a very basic primer, kind of a laugh while you learn. I wanted people to get to the end of the book. That was the challenge I gave myself because I had such a time trying to get through other people's feng shui books back in the day. I thought, oh gosh, if there was just a book that I could actually read all the way to the end and not be frustrated. So it's kind of a laugh while you learn, campy a little book,
Your book, it's so funny talking about the relationship stuff. So off the top of your head, do you have any stories that you can share about the things that you've seen people change in their lives that are just laughable?
Well, I've got a lot of that.
Yes.
Well, for those of you, I'm just imagining your listener might be a single woman or somebody looking for love, right?
Yes, so, I'm sure.
A lot of single women who are looking for love have a lot of single subjects in the art. One rose, one woman, basically single subjects. If you have a lot of, or they also have quite often pictures of themselves when they were children in frames in their houses as well. I would suggest getting rid of you as a child in your home pictures. And then I would also remove the single subjects. I had one woman who had, it was her father was an artist and she had all his, I don't know what you call them, the first sketch before he did the final painting. It was kind of a rough out painting. And she had all these single boats. And that was the first time I'd realized, how they always name a boat a woman's name? She was a fine boat or whatever. And I thought, oh, I think these boats are coming off as single women. And so I asked her to take down all the single boat art, which now has become in my world. I've noticed that was way back in the beginning when I first started practicing. And now the pattern is pretty much single subjects everywhere. If you have one vase, not a pair of candlesticks, I actually had one woman. She told me, she goes, it's not that I can't find men. I just can't find a match. And her word was a match. And I said, well, let's look through your house. And she was like this flea market person. And she would literally go buy one fork of one pattern, a spoon of another pattern.
Wow.
Every plate, every fork, every towel, she specifically made it not match. And her complaint was, I can't find a match. And I asked her, I said, you're going to be a great example because I will know exactly how many matches it takes to get the guy, right? So I said, get one matching pair of something and then give it a month or so and report back and tell me what has happened. And then we'll just keep adding them. And after a month, she says, nothing's happened. And I said, well, tell me about the matching pair you got. She goes, oh my God, I bought the cutest little salt pepper shaker. It's a giraffe and a zebra.
What?
I'm like, she couldn't even see a match if it hit her upside the head, right? Wow. So sometimes I have to give shopping rules to people. Like, you're not allowed to, if it's made out of metal, you're not allowed to buy it. If it's made out of wood, it's not for you, you know? Oh, so helping people, you know, I didn't think getting a matching pair of something was such a challenge, but when you're blind to your own patterns, it's my job to help you see that pattern and break you of that habit that is getting you that result.
Mm-hmm. So, and then when you had your own experience of getting called to publish, you called by the publisher for a book, mm-hmm. that was something that wasn't even in your consciousness. You just allowed yourself to be open to something. What do you think it was that you did that allowed for that?
Well, I was doing a lot of things, a lot of experimenting with my house and, like, you know, inviting more energy in the front door and just creating spaces. I renovated my whole house just because I was renovating it. And I thought, as long as I'm renovating, I'm going to do it right. And it was just such a drastic overhaul, which one would expect if you go from one space to another. I mean, I think everybody knows that if you move from house to house to house, they're kind of like little mini chapters in your life. You go, oh yeah, when I lived in Miami in that little place, boy, I had the men knocking on the door, but my health was crappy. Or, oh, when I lived in this place, I was so healthy, but man, I couldn't keep a job or whatever. You know, you kind of have these little stories of chapters per home of what was going on in your life. And so therefore, as a feng shui practitioner, you know, I would ask you, how long has that been going on? Did it happen when you moved into this house? Or have you been carrying that pattern with you? And all the conversations that we have up front to get, you know, listening to your complaints and things are all that I sieve through everything. And then I assess what's really going on in this particular house. And sometimes it's the mindset shift, which is why I wrote the second book called Make a Shift, Change Your Life, because there are some mindset things that I've noticed. Sometimes people, when, you know, they ask me for prosperity and then 6 weeks later they go, yeah, that didn't work. Give me some more prosperity cures. Mm-hmm. And I go, wait a minute, you told me you got a raise at your job. And then this check came in because you didn't know there was something in this bank that was a closed account. I go, well, the prosperity did come your way. And they're like, no. You know, so then I was like, So sometimes people feel broke no matter how much money they have. You know, so how are we going to deal with the chicken instead of the egg? And so I call it feng shui in your mindset as well. So I'm not a purist. I work with mindset. I work with, you know, traditional feng shui. I know about biology basics, you know, like how to, because you can put your bed in a great position, but if the circuit panel with the electrical, you know, fuse box on the other side of the wall, you're going to be not sleeping there very well, or there's radon in the house or off gassing from some carpet or something like that. You have to know about the construction materials of the house and where's your Wi-Fi router. Is your phone on all night blasting radio frequencies in your head while you're trying to sleep? And so understanding the contemporary feng shui positions, like with routers and microwave ovens and things like that. So putting this all together to create that optimal pattern for you, you know, is what I'm all about. And it can be drastic, renovate your whole house, or it can be zero cost, move your stuff, change your life. So there is a great variation in the opportunities. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. And that's why I wrote Move Your Stuff, because you can get big changes with little money if you know the patterns.
So when people come to work with you, are these people who have already kind of bought into feng shui, or how would you say that people usually come across your work? Do they come in knowing what they're looking for, having tried other options and it's not working?
I mean, sometimes people call me and say, you know, I need you to come over and fix my house with feng shui. And I've had, you know, like the Hollywood types call me and say, you know, my assistant will be there to, you just get in the house and do your thing. And I'm like, I can't because I don't know what I'm doing. That would be me making up what I think you might need. And I have actually feng shui'd the second largest lottery winner at the time in Canada. And their life was a mess because they won the lottery.
Wow.
Their family blew up. So why would I do that to somebody if they didn't request that, you know? they're not ready for that, if they're not willing to change that.
Meaning they didn't ask you, somebody else thought that they needed it?
Yeah. I mean, like if somebody, you know, why would I go into somebody's house and just go, do this, do that. Ooh, that's bad. Do that. It's not my opinion. I have no opinion on your home until you tell me what's going on in your life. And you tell me what you're willing and want to change and how you want to make it better or different in some way. And so I don't fix houses. I improve people's lives through the metaphor or the spaces around them. So that's, I think, where people get hung up in feng shui. They're like, I painted my front door red because I heard it was good feng shui. Did I do it right? And I'm like, I don't know. Did you have the problem that would require a red door? You know, like it's not good or bad. It's nothing until you tell me, you know, how willing you are to make a move in life.
That's so interesting. So if somebody's like, for example, the woman who had all the single boats, like her complaint would be that she's looking for a partner.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She was literally looking for love. And I looked around her house. We got her bedroom in order, you know, make your bedroom look like a couple could exist in there. So many single women, it's like one nightstand, or they have both nightstands full of their stuff. Everything's full. The closet is packed. If the knight in shining armor came to stay while the castle gets finished built, you know, where would you put him? How would you accommodate, you know, make room? Space equals opportunity. So where's the space for the opportunity? And I tell people, a lot of clutter people, you know, of course, clutter is a big component of the world that I deal with. And it's like, if you're hanging on to things of the past, how are you going to get, you know, where are you going to fit the stuff that supports your future? So she, yeah, when we got rid of the boats, she is literally kind of like my quintessential married rich client. It was kind of just funny how she literally did that thing that most girls dream of, you know?
I think it's so funny. You said one nightstand, and I immediately thought you were talking about like people who end up with a one night stand. They sleep with somebody for one night, but it makes sense that they could be the same thing. If you have one nightstand, is that like where the term comes from? Yeah.
If I say, if you don't want one night stands, don't just have one night stand. Exactly. So, and that is that's the comical part of feng shui. When you listen to how people talk and you go, and they go, oh my God, my relationship's in the toilet. And then you go over there, you're like, well, there it is. You know, it's there's the toilet right in your relationship area. So it's a direct correlation. Wow. If you understand the patterns, it gets comical. It really does.
I believe it. And so when you said people's, what are they willing to do? What do you see as far as resistance?
Oh, I would say the number one thing would be resistance to getting rid of stuff the decluttering. And if you can reframe it a little bit, if you understand that's, well, first of all, people that are stuck because of the clutter, they just haven't dreamt a big enough dream that is compelling enough to make a move for. They're like, people tell me I need to get rid of my stuff. So, and they're just resistant to it. But if you go, as God is my witness, I am going to be skiing in the Alps by the end of the year because da 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 da. You know, and you're like, you build this dream that you're like, yes, I'm going for that. Get out of my way, world, because that's where I'm heading. If you don't have a juicy enough reason to get rid of the stuff from the past that does not serve you, it's really hard to get rid of. So we create that dream, and I hold that dream for them. And sometimes I go, remember, you said you wanted to travel more and have more fun and ski more. How does this giant, these Rubbermaid bins, 8 tall, 8 deep, 8 wide, in this one bedroom that you say someday you're going to write a book, how does that fit into your travel more, ski more, whatever? And I go, do you care? Is it more important for you to have people in the future read this book that you've never met? Is it more important for you to have that happen than you skiing now and traveling now? And they go, no, I want to ski now. And I go, well, I invite you to get rid of this stuff that really is this someday, and it's been there for 8 years and you've never touched it yet. It's the someday that's never going to happen. And I help people sift through the dream versus the shoulds in life, because I will tell you that most of the stuff in people's homes that is weighing them down physically and opportunity wise is guilt. It's got a should attached. I really should write that book because my parents were really exceptional people back in the 40s, something like that, which was her story.
Wow.
And if I can get you to understand space equals opportunity. So when you are taking, when you are getting rid of stuff, you are not left with nothing. So when I take something out of somebody's hand, I say, I am now filling your hand. So I'm taking the thing away. I'm filling your hand with infinite potential. Now, would you have rather have infinite potential or this set of collectible matchboxes or whatever it is? And they go, you know, it's a reframe because a lot of clutter people feel like space is nothing. And I'm here to tell you that it is opportunity in bringing that a little bit of clarity of intention of where you're heading, a little bit of space creating. You can make it happen so quickly if you just know how to play that little reframe decluttering mindset game.
So this is a big part of my work too, as a therapist, but I also do hypnotherapy. And so I think people exist in stories of who they think that they are instead of questioning, like, who am I, or allowing opportunity for them to actually be someone today. So that feels like the energetic component of holding on to the past, like who I think I am. I think I'm my parents' child with these collectible whatever that have been passed down. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast that you did where you're talking about like a quilt being passed down mm-hmm. that was unfinished, right? So it's like every generation gets this unfinished quilt, and the guilt plays in of like, oh, I need to, this is what I should do because generationally this is like what was burdened to me right. almost instead of
I need
choosing.
To keep this crap so I can pass it down to my
totally
my kids.
Yeah. And so even the name of my podcast, the Live Your Life podcast, so many people are existing in stories of who they think they are instead of creating the life that's actually theirs. And this mm-hmm. is what you're talking about. It feels really important. And I understand how you need to understand psychology and mindset in your work mm-hmm. because you're not just talking about this tangible thing that you're holding. You're talking about the guilt and all the meaning that these things hold and the connection with who people think that they are.
Yeah. People say, ooh, after I work, they work with me, they go, ooh, you're a lot more than what I thought you were. I yeah. thought you were going to come in here and move my furniture. And I'm like, no reason to move it unless we know the deep, dark, what's inside there.
So you said health a couple times. And so I want to ask you something. So I'm sure people come to you and they say, what can I do to improve my health? What mm-hmm. would you say are the biggest things that people should be doing, especially with what's happening in the world today? COVID is going on. People want to be healthy and protect mm-hmm. themselves. What would your mm-hmm. tips be for that?
You know, that's probably the number one, you know, situation these days is how do I get a good night's sleep? And that request in the past maybe 15 years has really gone up the ladder where back in the day it was more, well, I mean, people still want money, love, things like that, but health has gained momentum in people that I just want a good night's sleep. I just yeah. want a good night's sleep. How do I get a good night's sleep? And so there are, and that's where I studied all the biobiology components, which is the healthy home and understanding the energy of, you know, I'm like freaking no on the 5G, please. And yeah. Turn off your router at night, turn off your cell phones at night, or put them on airplane mode so they don't emit the pulse that happens every 5 minutes as it pings to the tower without you even knowing about it. Mm. And getting rid of, you know, get the cords and electric blankets, heating pads, get, for gosh sakes, don't buy those beds that have the motorized thing that go up and down that plug in. And if your bed plugs in or anything is touching your bed that is plugged in, please remove it. Don't have the wire charging your iPad laying on your bed at night because you are now putting yourself in an electrical environment. Chronic exposure to electrical fields, electromagnetic fields really plays out poorly over time. I would invite you to not do that. You know, people that are exposed to electromagnetic fields, I'll say this in the 30 years that I've been doing this, I have never, ever had a client who has had fibromyalgia or MS or any of the arthritis things, rheumatoid arthritis, blah, 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 that I have not found chronic exposure to electromagnetic fields. So the clients that do have those problems do have the chronic exposure, and the clients that don't have the problems don't have the chronic exposure. It's pretty clean. And I sure wish people would know that, you know, if you're laying around putting yourself into a chronic exposure situation, you know, and I bring the meters to test, that's part of the consultation when I come to people's homes, you know, it's not your unlucky you that got that. You know, everybody goes, whoops, it was me. You know, you either ate it, drank it, injected it, inhaled it, rubbed it on, were exposed to it. You know, it's believed it or perceived it. I will throw those in as well. Mm-hmm. If you look at Dr. Bruce Lipton's work, mm-hmm. you know, if you have a perception that your environment is dangerous, your cortisol will be shooting out of your cells, you know, whether it is truly dangerous or not. Mm-hmm. So your perception of your environment, if you have somebody that flies off at the handle all the time and you're walking on eggshells and you're on pins and needles, that's the cortisol shooting stuff that we want to try to eliminate to regain our health. And so, you know, getting yourself into a long-term, safe and thriving, creating environment is, you know, what it's all about for longevity. And I would say that my number one tips these days usually have to deal with these high-tech things. Back when I first started doing feng shui, the microwave oven was the biggest booger in the house. Well, now there's so many wireless boogers that have come since then that I don't even get down to the microwave oven, unfortunately. Wow. So I cannot make a clean house these days because of the Wi-Fi. You know, you turn on your computer and you see there's 27 different choices of Wi-Fi if you had all the codes. Well, that's how many layers of radio frequencies are happening. If you understand the world of, you know, that type of energy, it's not healthy. I always tell people, you put your food in the microwave and then you eat it. Okay. Well, would you put your head in the microwave oven? You know, it's just like, why are you putting that energetic field in your body or near your body? Or, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. So Wi-Fi router, cell phones, cell towers, 5G, the list goes on would be my number one tips these days.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it never, you know, it's just an added thing that I have to do now, where it never was that way years ago.
So interesting. I'm thinking about, like, I live in an apartment and I'm surrounded by obviously other people with all of their Wi-Fis as well. So if I look for Wi-Fis, there's probably 10 options that I could choose from. So there's this whole question of, and this is maybe just like a personal thought process, but would it be better to live out in the wilderness somewhere and deal with a commute if my living environment is healthier for me? Probably. I mean, I think that's what you're saying.
Well, these are all the discussions that one has to think of. But, you know, sometimes if you live out where it's just agriculture and they're spraying with airplanes, maybe not. Or you're living out on a golf course somewhere and they're spraying pesticides and doing, you know, like, it's not a one size fits all environment, but definitely unfortunately, the multifamily housing that now everybody has their own wireless thing is, I don't know. It's pretty inescapable from that aspect.
Yeah.
So it's just basically weighing your odds. Everybody's constitution is a little bit different. Some people can handle it. Some people fall victim to it very quickly. And, you know, that's why, you know, sometimes the family has to move because one of the kids can't handle it. You know, you have to figure out what it's worth.
That is so interesting. This is so interesting. And I do believe that health is wealth, right? It's important. So it makes sense to me that people are really valuing that, which I love to hear. So I'm curious how your business had shifted with COVID. Have you seen an increase in people wanting to change their homes since people are stuck in quarantine in their homes?
Yeah, it's been very interesting that, I teach people to do what I do. I have a certification course, and a lot of people are just like, hey, I finally have the time to take your course, which that's been kind of fun. I've got more people in my little feng shui family that's out there helping change the world one house at a time. That's what we say.
So this is a feng shui certification course that you offer?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, So there's that. And then there are people that are like, finally, I can address what's going on in my house and I have time to look at it. And my husband has time to remedy or fix or update or whatever. So there's been a lot of that going on. And I actually go to people's homes still. I do, you know, I mask up and I do that just because it's kind of like I think of it almost like a first responder, so to speak. If you're in that environment and that is the environment that is supposed to support you during this time, let's get it as best we can and get you as safe as we can. And so a lot of people are contacting me. I do telephone consultations where they send me their floor plan and we discuss on the phone what's going on in your life. And you know, I can practically tell you what's going on in your house without seeing it. So I take a look at the pictures and we discuss on the phone. Yes, based on what you told me, I think this is your weak link or the smoking gun or whatever I say that thing is connected to what's the problem in your life. Let's make this change. Call me in 6 weeks. Tell me how it went. We can fine tune if we need to. That's what I've been doing most of this time during COVID.
I love that. I think a lot of people listening, I hope that they're interested in that. I think that's so cool to be able to do that right now. Even just via telephone, I think it's not as difficult to do a lot of things right now, which is great.
True. And you know what? It might be helpful. I have this program. It's called Move Your Stuff with Karen. And twice a month we have live phone calls where, you know, maybe somebody's reading my book and they just want to ask me a question along the way. It's kind of like the self, you know, feng shuiing helper program. And once a week, you get a list of to-dos to consider in your house to kind of fix your house stuff. And you say, oh, maybe I do need to wash my front door to invite new opportunities, you know, basic things like that. But then the calls are to get specific. You send in your floor plan. I don't know how to overlay my Bagua map. Or did I do this right? I read your book and this is how I interpret it. What do you think? And So the Move Your Stuff with Karen program that I have is that kind of Band-Aid, you know, patching people between like, Karen's not coming to my country or not coming to my city, you know, to do private consultations. So this is the way I can do it for myself. So that might be helpful for people that are just dipping a toe into the feng shui world.
I think that's great. And I love just the simple things that you said about sleep and health. I think those are really simple, practical tips that everybody could look at their home and make little changes. So I'm wondering if you could give us like two just like high level tips before we end. Like what would you say are two things that people could do to improve their home?
Two things that people could do to improve their home.
Well, their lives.
Definitely make the walk from the street to your front door be the most logical, easy to find, easy to get through. There's no spider webs going to hit you in the face. There's no sidewalk going to trip you up because the crack is, you know, broken in the sidewalk. There's no thorns going to get you. Make it the most easy, simple way to get to your front door because that's how energy is finding you. If opportunity is not knocking, it's literally not finding your door. And a cure, which what we call it a cure, which is like a remedy for that issue. If you don't have a door that's easily found, easily viewed, would be to hang a little small chime on the doorknob side of the door, outside the door somewhere, on the doorknob side where the door opens, and to use a sound to invite the energy towards your door. So that would be one tip, which would be just getting in the energy. Yeah. And then number two would be unplug anything, obviously, around your bed. There's just no doubt about it while you're sleeping.
Yeah, that's good. So how can people find you?
Well, they can get that free webinar if they sign up at moveitwithkaren.com and put your email in there. And then I can send you these types of emails. I'm doing a Midwest tour of consultations coming up soon. Then I'm going to be doing the Southeast. And so people get on my list and then they know they can put their name in and say, hey, if you're ever in, you know, blah, blah, blah city, I want you to come by. So I have a consultation interest list and that's what drives my tours and where I go. And Move It with Karen, I would say is the easiest entryway.
Okay.
To just get into my world. And then you can go to KarenRalcarter.com if you care to spell that. But Move It with Karen is the way to start off with me.
So I'll put everything in the notes so that people can see all of this information and click on it through there. And then where do you live? So if anybody's listening who's close to you and wondering.
Well, that is a very interesting conversation.
Oh.
You know, I'm the feng shui consultant. I have done one house extremely water element. I did another house extremely earth element. Another house extremely metal element. Just to pull, I experiment on myself so I know the maximum, you know, that a person can take, so to speak. And so I have been experimenting with, I say space equals opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I said, I wonder what would happen if I got rid of everything and I want to see what opportunities have show up.
Wow.
So literally last May, I sold my house turnkey with everything in it, left the pots and pans and the shower curtains and the rugs, art on the wall. Bye-bye. Everything. Ciao, ciao. And I decided I want to be a full-time traveler. And I imagined, I said, I want to travel the world and have somebody else pay for it is how I described it. Travel the world and have somebody else pay for it. Like, oh my gosh. Not even going to pay for it. This is the opportunity that I want to bring about. And I am shocked at how well this is working.
Wow.
I mean, COVID is a weird animal, but I have to say, you know, I have friends that are like, please come and stay with me. Of course they know, you know, yeah, we're getting ready to renovate. Let's have Karen live with us. Right.
Right.
but I have been, it has been, I'm telling you, I thought I would do it for a year, but I'm telling you it's now having a home at the moment. I'm sure someday I will, but at the moment it feels so limiting to have one home in one place.
Wow.
Because for that, for those few months there, I was having a blast. It's not for everybody, but my intention was to travel the world and live literally like it would just be given to me, you know, just boom, boom, boom. And I have not, it's now September. I have not paid a mortgage, a rent, a bill for what do you call it? You know, like water or electricity.
Utilities,
or
yeah.
I have utility. I haven't paid any this year. No.
Wow.
And it's just, it is.
Did you say May of 2019 was when you sold your house?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I have to say it's better. And that is what you have to believe. Mm-hmm. If I were to say something, if you have this dream, you'll probably get dream plus X. It is amazing when you know, some people, I'd say, people say, what is your biggest frustration with your clients? Number one, they don't dream big enough.
Ooh, I love that.
And they're always like, what? That's the biggest. I go, that is the biggest problem. When they just think, that's impossible. How could I? And I go, let me tell you, I can make it happen. Just if you want it, be ready. Like, here we go, you know, and they don't dream big enough. And they're limited by their, what they think is possible based on the environment that's what's given them so far. And I'm like, well, get ready, strap in, here we go. You know, so you got to be ready to do it. And so this last year, I pushed it to the limit. And I said, I'm going to see how far, you know, clarity of stuff gets me. And I'm having a blast with it. So.
What a lucky person to buy your home.
I feng shuied to have a single woman buy my home. And by golly, that's what I got. So.
Wow. But is she looking for a partner? Because you could help her with that.
I didn't put that on her, but based on how I designed and staged the home and everything, I said, I want a single fun woman to buy my home. And she did.
This is so amazing. I think I'm kind of diving into the world of quantum physics as well. I think it's totally real and amazing. And I think this is what you're really selling ultimately is, like you said, change your life, but you're selling a good life. Like, this is freedom, I think, mm-hmm. ultimately is what people are looking for. And when we set goals for ourselves or have an idea within our realm of consciousness, we pigeonhole ourselves. It's almost like we put a frame around what we think our life should look like. And what we want to do is remove the frame and just be open, which it sounds like you're doing, which is so awesome.
Yep, it's a wild ride if you choose to get on, you know. And some people, they live in fear, and if you understand that fear is weakening of the water element, we can actually just start building the water element in your house to lessen the fear. You know, like there is a way through everything if you know how to play the game. And, but some people just think that's their life and there's no way around it. Would, should, could, I promised whatever, I should do this, I was born that way, whatever. And I'll go, you will surely get what you believe. So
this is so good. I love that last piece you said too, the water element will help reduce fear. I think a lot of people are existing in fear and anxiety right now. Mm-hmm. So that's a good final tip, I think. And I mean, I would love to record another episode in the future talking about your other book and this just life stuff outside of feng shui, because it's all connected. Of course, I keep getting stuck in the feng shui, but I think it's super important. And I think it's awesome that you're living your life. So thank you so much for telling your story and joining us. And I will put all of the contact information in the show notes and people can find you and hopefully change their lives.
Well, I was listening to your Camino podcast, which I loved, because I'm literally toying with a podcast myself on travel tales. And it's called Travel Tales from Abroad or Two, my friend and I. And so that's why I listened to that particular one. As picture me, you know, how big can I make my life? And I'm like, I'm going to be traveling the world. Of course, there's going to be fun stories coming out of it. And I listened to that one, and that one gave me, I think I'm going to have you on my future podcast as I expand and do this, not for me, not for feng shui, not for my clients, not whatever, but it is how I would be sort of feeding my creative side, would be doing a podcast, So it's sometimes people put you in boxes and you're like, you're the podcast lady now and you're the whatever feng shui lady.
Exactly. And I totally put you in a box. Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. And everybody's like, well, aren't you going to tie that into feng shui? And I'm like, no, this is my creative outlet. Some people paint, some people do whatever. I tell funny stories, and boy, when you travel a lot, you can make some good ones happen. And so anyway, I would just wanted to say, for those of you who are not, haven't listened to that Camino story, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And the Camino, it makes me think about, just in our conversation, I literally spent 30 days living out of a backpack with three outfits for a month.
And I could tell how much, and what you kept saying was, we just played cards all day. Yep. We had time. And that's what happens. Time and space and money are very tied together. Oof. And when you create space in one, the other one, usually people say, I don't have enough money. And I go, well, let's start giving some money away. And they go, I don't have enough time for anything. I think you need to volunteer. And they're like, I just said, I don't have time. And I'm like, I know, that's why you have to give some away. Yeah. And so it's very contradictory sometimes. Remedies I dole out, but you were experiencing that. I could tell by the way you were saying it. We just had time to live and experience life. And that's what I've been doing since last May, sans the COVID stuff, but even still with it. But so listen to that episode, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, I love this. I could keep talking about this forever, especially travel. Don't even get me started. So I can't wait for your podcast. Definitely do it, especially because people are stuck and want travel stories, and we're missing these travel experiences that they bring me so much life. So I'm excited for that. So, and you're hilarious. Your book is hilarious. So it's going to be good. I can totally feel that happening.
Yay.
Okay, well, let's close out for now. Thanks so much for your time, and I'm sure we will talk again soon.
All right, take care. Bye.
Hey guys, it's Jasmine. Thanks so much for listening to the Live Your Life podcast, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find the show notes and information about life coaching at jasminesavari.com. You can also find me on Instagram at jasminesavari. I am a life coach and a licensed mental health counselor, but this podcast is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you are in crisis, please call 911 or the Crisis Clinic at 1-800-273-8255. Take care, and don't forget to live your life.